Just real quick, I'd like to review from the speakers yesterday. Yesterday morning, we had spread the word, spread it before God, give God our letter. We had Brother Andy with review the glory of God. We had Brother Michael Farmer with, you know, we ought to listen and listen to God, and we won't drive our preacher crazy. And we had Brother Faint saying we need to be about the work. It's not about the numbers, but we need to be about spreading the seed. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to focus on verses 15 through 18, but we will cover the whole chapter this morning. Just some background. We know the author to be the Apostle Paul. We know that this is the third letter to the Corinthians. We have no clue what the second letter was about, but if the Lord really wanted us to know, he would have gave us the second letter. What we do know is that Paul was burdened about this church, that he would even write to him a third time. It's believed that he's never even met this church, but he cared about them, and he knew that there was issues in this church, but yet, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, he sent letters to help straighten them out and encourage the saints. And it's a picture of us. You know, we're full of issues, we're full of trials, but you know what? The Holy Spirit works on us to straighten us out so that we can become into the image of Christ. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary or temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." This morning, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for the breath to be here, Lord, that you've given us this grace and opportunity to gather in this free country, Lord, that we can come to this house, Lord. We can assemble as a body this morning, Lord, and thank you for the opportunity to speak, Lord. But Lord, I just need you to use me in spite of who I am, Lord, and the sinful man that I am, Lord. Just ask that the Holy Spirit would have its will and way in this place, Lord, and that the message that you want these people to hear, Lord, that you allow them to hear, and you'd work on their hearts, and you would revive them again this morning, Lord, and let them be a lighthouse in this community, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. We're really going to be focusing on verse number 18. The first part we see is in verse number 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. You know, so many times we focus on the things we can clearly see. But if you were to even look at a McDonald's sign, there's 50 different characteristics you can compare between two McDonald's signs. So how much more can we look at things in life differently? If we look at God's word, how much more we can dig out? Well, if we start at the beginning of chapter 4, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, which we have received, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commanding ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." You know, one of the things we fail to really look at in life is we have a ministry, and we've been received it by grace. So, you know, your ministry may be a pastorate. It may be the nursery. And yes, the nursery is a ministry. You get to watch those little babies while maybe someone who's lost comes into the church and they can hear God's word preach. You know, you may be a Sunday school teacher. You may go to the nursing home. You have a job. That's a ministry. God has placed you there for a reason. You go to the school you go to because you have a ministry there. You know, God has equipped us and called us by his grace, by his mercy. As we see in Romans chapter 12, and verses 5 through 8. "So we being many are one body in Christ, and every member one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the propitiation of faith, or ministers, let us wait on our ministers, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhorting, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And let love be without dismissal. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good." Well, God's given us a gift, a talent. Some of you can sing, some of you can teach, some of you can preach. You know, some of you have the ability to memorize, and it allows you to, you know, to remember people, and you can pray for them. You know, we got prayer warriors in every church. We have people who know how to be cheerful, and they can make people laugh. And we need that. God's equipped us with a ministry. And so many times we fail to look at that ministry. We get in the habit, okay, this is what I do. I get up on Sunday mornings. Because we're creatures of habit, you know. And I study on this day, I come to church, I teach, all right, it's done, it's over with. But you know, another thing we need to look at, and it's one of the reasons we have this ministry, is we need to look at the gospel. In verse number 3 of chapter 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, to them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, we may be saved and we may have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but so many times we take our eyes off the gospel. We forget that we've been transformed, we've been renewed. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We so many times take and we stop looking when we look at people and we see interviews on the news and people, how they act and crazy. And it's because maybe they've never really heard the gospel. They've never seen the gospel themselves. Yet God has put it into our sake. And in case you don't remember what the gospel is, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which you also have received and wherein you stand, by which ye are saved, if you keep in memory which I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. You know, we have this commandment we need to show. If we look at verse number 5 of chapter 4, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then also verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthly vessels, but that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. You know, God has put it in us. We're that earthly treasure. You know, people are out there looking for hope. You know, and that's why they turn to things like drugs, because they think it's going to be the answer to what they're looking for. They turn to relationships because that's what they think that they're looking for. They're looking for some kind of fulfillment. But you know what? That fulfillment comes by looking at Christ, looking at the gospel. And as we seen yesterday, we need to be about bearing. So how's your fig tree this morning? Is it barren or is it bearing fruit? You know, secondly, we see we got to look at not at the scene. We got to stop looking at the seen things. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal. You know, the first thing that came to my mind was the burdens of life, and we'll see that in verse number 8 through 9. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Casting down, but not destroyed. It's so easy to look at the little things in life. You know, we see, you know, there's issues with finance, there's issues with, you know, marriage, friendships, your jobs. But you know what? The Bible says, you know, we may be troubled on every side, but yet he's given us a promise, but you're not distressed. You're perplexed, but you're not despaired. You're persecuted, but you're not forsaken. Cast down, but you're not destroyed. This tells us right here that God has a purpose for everything. You know, if we may have these and they may be clearly seen, but if you really look at the purpose behind them, I think of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Though the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and the glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what? if you were to stop looking at the seen trial and look at the purpose behind the trial, it's that your faith might be pure. God wants to do a work in you, but the only way that we can do the work, or he can do the work into you, is that sometimes he's got to break you. He's got to cut you open a little bit so he can heal you, so he can take out the old and put in the new. And we also see in Nahum 1:7 that the Lord is good. He's the stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust him. And we also see in Psalms 37, the trials of life, they may be around us, they may surround us, and you know what? They can become overwhelming, and that's why we hold on to our letters. But you know what? In Psalms 37:5, it says, commit thy ways unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. We also see in Psalms 37 in verse 25, you know, I've been young, and now I'm old, yet have I seen... And have I not seen the righteousness forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread? You know, no matter how bad the situation may be, God will always take care of you. It's a promise he made to his word. You know what? And David had it bad. David, he was anointed to be king. He was running from the current king. But you know what? God took care of David. You know, he gave him refuge with his enemies, as we see in Psalms 23. You know what? But God always fed him, gave him shelter, and protected him because David put his trust in him. And we are to do the same. We also have Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 through 2 that tell us, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, we can look at the burdens of life, but you know what? Jesus has already ran ahead. Jesus is already at the finish line waiting for you. He has a purpose with this, and it's the trial of your faith. You know, if we keep looking at the temporal things and not the eternal things, we can have the wrong view. You know, I think of the Febreze commercial where they blindfold them, and, you know, they spray the little scent, and they're sitting in trash. And if you're looking at the temporal things, you could be looking, you're missing out on the eternal things. You know, if we have the wrong view, we can have the effects of looking at the seen instead of the unseen can be like this. When we see the correct view followed by the view of the wrong looking, I'm going to ask some questions this morning. I want you to answer them in the heart. Can you remember a time when you were so focused on God that you would show up early here because you didn't want to miss saying hello to someone? You didn't want to miss anything. You didn't want to miss a prayer, you didn't want to miss a song, you didn't want to miss a chance to worship, to fellowship. But now you skip services, you show up late, because you know it doesn't mean anything to you. Church has just become a place to you. When you would sing with your heart and worship to God, you didn't care who was around, you didn't care how loud you sang, but now you know you just mouth the words, you don't even open your songbook, you don't care. When Jesus was the most beautiful name you could hear, but now you when you're looking the wrong way, you know, Jesus has just become another name. You don't care if people blaspheme his name. You just go on about it. You know, when church was the best place to be, but now it's just become another place. It's just something you do. Remember when people were everything? They were souls. They had hearts, they had feelings, but now they're just another face in the crowd. When that ministry was everything to you, you would get up early, you would show up on time, you would have everything ready, you would prepare, you would put hours and hours of prayer into it. Now it's just something you do to pass time. When you used to pour out to God in prayer and you used to spread the letters before God, but now it's just a quick prayer. You know, less than 3 seconds, has no meaning, and doesn't even get past the ceiling. If we are to strive in this life, we must stop looking at the temporal things, and we must look at the eternal things. This brings us to our third point. So if we must gain or regain the right perspective, and that is to look at the eternal. So we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what is the eternal things in? And it defines in this chapter, and we look at verses 12 through 15. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus shall be present with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound the glory of God. You know, one of the eternal things is to be like Christ. You know what? That's why there's burdens. That's why there's everything we go about. The whole purpose, this is the purpose, to be like Christ. And we see in verses 16 through 17, for which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet their inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for in us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. It's actually being made like Christ, knowing that this life is temporal. The things that we do here do matter, though. They do have an eternal weight. But you know what? One day this will pass. And one day we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ, worshiping him forever. And lastly, we see seeing like Christ. While we look not at the things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For the things which are temporal, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The end result is being made like Christ, but seeing like Christ. You know what? And the result of that is seeing souls come to Jesus Christ. It's about us bearing the fruit. It's about us doing the work. It's about loving people. It's about having the fellowship. You know what? And the end result of that is the rewards. The Bible talks about four crowns. You know what? I want to be someone who can earn all four crowns and give them to Jesus. And it's just a small thing I can do in return for what he's done for me. You know what? And there's always a sweet phrase in the Bible I love in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You know, if we have the right perspective, we get things done. It's the same thing when you go to work. If you're focused on something and you work towards that goal, you get it done. God is wanting us to see what his word says, seeing us to be eternal, not temporal, and he wants us to get the work done because he has a plan and a purpose for us. So as we close, how will you look, eternal or temporal? And let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Just ask that you would use this morning, Lord, as you use the other messages, Lord, that this would speak just to one person, Lord. I know you changed my message for a reason, Lord, and I know that this could be just so I can be obedient, Lord, that someone else's life might be affected, Lord. Just ask that you be with the rest of the services to come, Lord, and be with Brother Michael Jackman as he brings the message next hour, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.